Bill Moseley.
Danielle Harris.
Dick Warlock.
George Romero.
Kane Hodder.
Robert England.
Ronnie Blakely.
CJ Graham.
And you're listening to
Deep in Horror, Texas.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
Oh, hey, you okay?
Blackest time.
What's in the fucking box?
Candy!
Stop the prime time, bitch!
All the hoot and hollering. Let's get right to it. Welcome to another episode of Deep in the Heart of Texas. This is Jeff.
This is Nathan.
And this is Ralph.
Oh, man, it's good to be back. And we're going to talk about the long-lost Cloverfield paradox.
Oh, we're doing Cloverfield? I thought we were doing It Follows.
Oh, let's do It Follows.
Yeah, yeah, no. We're going to do It Follows today.
Not yet. Yeah. I've got to get my notes.
No. We're good.
Tune perfectly.
No. After the Coke fiasco, like 20 minutes ago,
we don't talk about cocaine on the show.
It's Dr. Pepper.
We don't talk about him either.
No, Mr. Pibb. We don't talk about Mr. Pibb.
Yeah, Mr. Pibb's for assholes.
It really is.
Yeah.
If you're like, Mr. Pibb's better, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Straight up.
It's like, drink up.
I hope you drink it till you rot.
So It Follows is a garbage movie.
So what are we talking about?
It Follows.
No, we're not.
No. You've been pushing this episode for God knows how long. Now we're doing it today.
In reality, what we're talking about is Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, that would be great. But
let's do it.
No.
We could do it off the top of our head.
You want to?
Yeah.
Real fast.
Fuck the paradox.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Jeff Bridges is awesome.
Boom. Done. Good night, everybody.
I'm more partial to Jet Li and his character in that.
Yeah. And you know what? No, kidding aside, I think Kurt Russell's daughter, Carrie Russell, is beautiful. She's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if Carrie
I can't wait to see the sequel with High Pan instead of Low Pan.
High Pan? I think that goes back to It Follows with the High Pan. Mid pan shot, long pan,
ladies and gentlemen.
Long pan.
I look. I'm pushing this off for the It Follow fans. I am gonna have a
All
solid case. I'm gonna have a solid case against these two jackoffs.
Oh man. Well, what's fun is I'm gonna.
Not fun.
Well, I just wanna. I wanna read.
Where's your hieroglyphs?
We put an email out. I mean, we did a post and we got a couple of responses on our message board and email.
Liar.
Rebecca from Iowa says, I really love It Follows. I think anyone who has had any close encounters with, she has flare ups between her herpes. So it really connected. This film really connected to her on a great filmatic level, you know, like as one might say, you know, The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke and stuff.
Bro,
like
just
that.
Because you have a steady supply of Valtrex does not mean
that's exactly what she said. But
coming from a guy who has herpagonosyphilis,
no, like,
I love it. It makes me feel better about myself when I come on people.
I kind of like to try to fuck.
I just like the great best on there. Just ectoplasm.
Cytoplasm.
Man, did Slimer come in the room?
He slimed me.
Jesus. I think, I don't know. We could get into it.
It's like he's a Donger Brothers episode.
No, off the cuff. Jesus Christ. No, like really off the cuff. What made it good when you first saw It Follows?
Like, we're not discussing It Follows right now.
We're already like 10 minutes into the episode.
I'm not even carrying notes or baggage to even attack It Follows. I just want to have a discussion about It Follows. Because, I mean, that's...
All right, let's review It Follows. We'll put fucking Cloverfield on the back. I will plead my case.
All right,
I will fight for us.
So you saw this originally in theaters?
In theaters, cool. 3 fucking times.
And that's good, right?
That was amazing because it was a great movie. Here we go. I saw it, me, Sammy, we watched the previews. Funny enough is I like
couldn't the trailer was good though.
I couldn't remember it.
Oh really?
Like we watched it like 2 days before we went to go see. I'll fucking kill you. We went to watch it. Like I watched the trailer like a couple, I'd say like 4 or 5 days before going and seeing it.
Gotcha.
I have a memory lapse with things. Like when I get busy, I don't remember shit. So when I went to the movie, I was like, I don't have any recollection of what this movie's going to be about. And so he's like, oh, well, that's good. Like, let's just go on blank slate. Dude, I watched it. Totally fucking happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was pleasantly surprising because I didn't have a standard for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, I didn't remember the headlines of
the
new Carpenter.
It's gonna be like this. Yeah.
I didn't remember any of that. So going in there blank slate, I was so fucking impressed with it.
Gotcha. Repeat viewings, have you found it to be
like herpes? Repeat viewings.
It comes up, it flares up, I enjoy it, you know, I treat it, it goes away.
No, when they dropped it on Netflix, it was on Hulu for a long time. Yeah. Like I own it, but you know, just like when I'm like scrolling through the dreck of Netflix and It Follows pops up, I'm like, oh yeah, fucking A, I'll watch this. So I mean I've probably seen it since the theater probably about 5-6 times. I enjoy it. I enjoy the fuck out of it.
That's cool, because I mean we discuss a lot of horror films, and it's cool hearing you come up with, like, you know, hey, this is one that, you know, you watch more than, you know, like, it's not just the Halloween rotation film. It's actually like, hey.
Yeah.
It's like High Tension when we talked about that. Yeah. It's like, hey.
It's like, you know, if I haven't seen it for a while or if I just see, like, I'm scrolling for something, and it's a good comfort zone for me because it is very Carpenter-ish.
Yeah.
It is very much reminiscent of the 80s horror that I love, just early 80s, I'd say even late 70s.
You have to lean more to what, like Cundy's cinematography and stuff. It's like, hey, it's like solid.
Oh,
camera
dude,
work.
This
it's
camera just, work is amazing.
Which
in
is
that movie.
You don't see it too much because with indie films, it's like found footage
was
or hinky dink.
Was it indie?
I think it was. I would call it indie
Who's it released by Ralph?
It is the production company's Northern Light Films, Animal Kingdom, and Two Flints.
Oh. Really?
Two Flints.
Two Flints is the production company. Like, you have 3 different production companies with this.
Wow, and I thought it was an A24 film, kind of like the, you know.
Well, it's distributed by Radius WTC.
Mm, nope.
So, like.
So it is independent.
So Radius is, like, the big one.
Well, they did a great job fucking getting this out there, because this hit a lot of theaters.
Does this show, I forget what festival this played at first, and that's where it started getting that initial.
Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It debuted at Cannes in 2014. We didn't get it in theaters till 2015.
That's cool. I mean, that's where the buzz was. Because, I mean, just like this new film called Hereditary that played at, I think, yeah, at Cannes Film Festival, I think it got a lot of buzz there. And now they're saying, hey, that's going to be like the big horror film for 2018. But here we are. I know when It Follows dropped at the festival, it was like a big deal. They're like, oh, it's this most original, scariest, you know, horror film that we've had in a long time.
Which it was. It was. At the time, you got to remember all the fucking dreck we were getting.
Yeah.
This broke the mold.
Because we weren't getting, like, Blumhouse. Like, we were getting Purge and stuff like from Blumhouse back then, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard.
It wasn't, like.
It's hard to remember 4 years ago because there's been so many good movies put out by Blumhouse. Yeah. And it's. But you got to remember, man, there's a long stretch where horror was fucking damn near dead. Conjuring came before this, yeah. So Conjuring probably revamped.
Yeah, Conjuring came out before this.
But this is, I felt like, I don't want to jump over Ralph, but I'm just going to speak. When I saw it in theaters, it was kind of like pre-Witch. It was It Comes at Night. You know, it was that intellectual horror film that nobody was really, there wasn't like, you know, maybe the strongest, you know, place for it yet. Mm-hmm. Because it was almost like hipster horror. You know, it was like, hey, we're not going to have a slasher and gore and blood and stuff, but we're going to have intellectual horror themes. You know, there's going to be strong character development. There's going to be, you know, we're not going to show you the origin of the creature, or we're going to give you too much. It's going to be a stronger way of taking horror, you know, into a place that may be a little bit more unheard of. So when I saw it in theaters after seeing that fun trailer, I was expecting kind of like a beginning, middle, and end. And this was almost like, I don't know, it was like
watching 12 hours of someone's life.
Well, yeah, the way I like to explain it is like seeing this girl's character was like a scene in like a small snowball and kind of get pushed up the hill. You know what I mean? Mm. And you get to the top, but you don't really go over. You know, it didn't really.
Well, that's the thing. You got to remember,
it was a great tale.
Why horror was dying was everything was all jump scare bullshit scares, which I enjoy every now and then. If you get me with a good jump scare, I'm like, oh, that's funny. But when that's your repeated fucking go-to, I hate movies that do that. Because, yeah, you'll get me with the first one, second one, okay, a little bit. Third one, I'm annoyed. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and I'm just like, this movie's only relying on that.
Yeah.
And one that I go to for jump scares especially was how they did the new Nightmare, Freddy's. Everything was a bullshit jump scare. There was no environmental. There was no element. There was no fucking atmosphere. It was just empty, hollow bullshit. And I fucking hate movies that are like that. I mean, I'm a horror fucking guru. Yet a lot of horror movies I fucking hate. Gotcha. Because I am from the Carpenter era. I love long, slow burn to build to something that is fucking going to eventually scare you, or in your guys' case, bore you to death. But I don't find this to do that. I find this just, it builds, 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 builds. I don't remember one section in this movie where there's not a build.
Yeah.
And then the leads to the eventual showdown, which we'll get into. Ralph, where did you see this?
I saw it with you in the theater.
Correct. One of the times.
I saw it with you at the theater once. And I told you that I didn't like it. And then you're like, well, then don't worry about it, Ralph. We'll watch it whenever it comes out on Blu-ray and we'll give it another shot. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. Watched it a second time. I don't know if we saw it in theaters again or if we saw it on Blu-ray or DVD, whichever one it was. Ralph, give it another shot. All right, I'll give it another shot. Like, it's not that I didn't try to like it.
Yeah.
Second time around, I was like, God damn it, no. Like, I could not get into this movie.
Which is shocking to me, the ghost psychological horror guy. That's right up your alley.
But this is the cool shit. Ralph, why didn't you like it?
Because the thing about it is that...
Isn't that final thoughts?
No, I mean,
the movie... Like, I'm not going to give you, like, my final thoughts. I'll give you, like, what was my mindset as we're going through this.
You're seeing this in a theater, and you're...
With slow burns, like, you only have so long to get me. And unless I know it is for sure paranormal, they didn't claim it was paranormal. They just said it's following you.
Yeah.
And based off of how the guy explained it, how it was passed on, I'm watching an STD.
Correct.
That's all I'm watching.
The haunted herpes.
And it's like, I did not care for it both times that I watched it. And then I watched it this third time, and I'm not going to lie to you. I was frustrated that I had to watch it a third time for notes. And I didn't save my goddamn notes.
Dude, he comes over to my house today. He's like, we got a podcast today. I was like, oh, yeah, are we doing Cloverfield and It Follows? He goes, yeah. Hopefully we get It Follows out of the fucking way, because I lost all my notes and I'm not watching it again. I was just like, we'll put it off for another month if we have to rewatch it.
I'm like, no.
And then I get in here. I'm like, all right, let's do Cloverfield. And they bombard me. So now we're doing fucking It Follows.
Hey,
yeah, because we want to get this episode out of the way.
I want to get Cloverfield out of the way.
All right, and I agree with you. But this one was a hard one for me because, I mean, I sat down with it and I watched it all the way through on commentary, which for anybody that owns the Blu-ray, the commentary is not done by the director. It's done by a film reviewer who calls other film reviewers to kind of talk about the film.
Oh, that's neat.
And it was neat, but then when you get to the third person calling in and they're talking about it, you realize that every reviewer is struggling to give the film purpose. They look into deeper meanings of, well, when the girl's in water, it's her coming home to
they do that
a peace. But when she loses herself and leaves the water. It's her losing her childhood and having to fall back into it. And when she sees the two guys on the boat, she's not going towards the guys to, kind of stretch out her timeline from the succubus. They're trying to return to water to kind of revisit her childhood. I was like, what the fuck? You are stretching here, people.
That
like, what guy, the fuck are you seeing?
That guy farts. directly into an astronaut helmet and puts it on.
He's a Fontanu. It was like I think in Caddyshack 2, this guy recalls a Fontanu is the person that farts in the bathtub and bites the bubbles.
I would be a Fontanu.
Yeah.
I was just like, God. I go into the theater just like you guys. I want to have, it's escapism, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And the horror realm, we have great films that we come upon, When you're sitting down and you're watching The Shining for your 30th time and you catch little nuances that have a deeper meaning as you get older and stuff like that. But when you go into these films and they're fresh and they're from the festival, you hope that there's new eyes.
Your build up is real.
I always hope that there's new talent out there that's going to show me something I've never imagined or you haven't seen before. And this did it. It felt like an empty chapter. When I left, I didn't feel fulfilled. Like I've gotten a worthwhile story.
It left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Like the film opens with a great scene that totally set up everything. The girl comes out of the house. There's that perfect metronome music. Doom, doom, doom. I mean, the music is awesome. Mm-hmm. And she's just running in like a little slip underwear and high heels.
Oh, wow.
And it's beautiful. It's like, what the fuck is she doing? She runs one way. She runs back. She gets in the car. She drives off. She's at a beach. She's telling her dad, I'm sorry. I love you. And
being
then
a shit child.
Then it's like land shark fucking attacked her. Ring or something happened. And she's just like crumpled like a
knees
piece of
paper. Broke off. Fucking.
And it's horrific.
She is twisted like a pretzel.
It's like, and then to later imagine that she might have just gotten like barrel fucked by fucking Andre the Giant,
Would anybody like a peanut?
I mean, your mind can wander once
you
get the full...
the thing doesn't fuck you to death.
What does it do?
It breaks you apart.
You think?
It just kills you. That's all. It's not... I understand where you're confused. You think the ghost fucks them.
What do you think it does?
It just kills them.
You think
it doesn't
just...
fuck
then
them.
Then why... All right, then as we go into later and it turns into that guy's mom and the mom's grinding on him and you see him literally get drained and cytoplasm and a strobe light kicks on, like, what is that?
Slimer was there.
Exactly.
It's like, what, her just, like, absorbing his sexual energy or...
Because
you know what
I... Look, I've watched this movie so many times. I did not see the come until you brought it up.
Okay.
But I never saw the mom grinding him. I saw her on top of him.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I saw the grinding.
It's pull pelvis on pelvis on that shit.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the part, but I don't
remember.
That's
why, if you look into
like I said, I wish I would have fucking been able to watch this movie.
But it's not even that. I mean, it's just like, if you have general knowledge of like demons and stuff, you look at it like a succubus, and stuff like that. It's like literally a demon that feeds on sexual energy. Like,
But keep in mind, when she fucked her son,
the entity and stuff
when
like
she
that.
Fucked her son, he wasn't all broken apart. He was just lifeless.
I thought that was cool, though. Exactly. If you think of it as a guy ghost attacking her.
Like the giant in the hallway.
Well, look at the Oof. When the final battle in the swimming pool. Do you realize when you look in the picture, it's her father, right? Like you see a family photo. And it's the daughter, her mom, and her dad. And when he goes to the pool and she sees who the ghost is, it's taking the form of her father.
I did
and,
not
and
notice
it's little
that.
Shit like that. I caught because I had to watch this fucking film three times. I watched it once with the commentary. I watched it halfway through, fell asleep, and I finished it again. But I caught the little things because I kept on thinking maybe the grandma. Was the scene where she sees at the college.
Yeah.
But she would have recognized it as her grandmother. She was like, hello. And like the girls are like, hi. like, what? But those are the scenes. Like when you watch it again, I picked up on the father thing at the end. The girl at the beginning, she comes out of the boathouse from the girl from the beginning. So the ghost thing takes the form of the girl from the beginning. Because when the ghost.
What?
All right. Do you remember when they had the attack at the boathouse? And the giant kicks,
little kid.
Yeah, the little kid comes in. Yeah. And when everybody comes out of the back of the boathouse to run away, the ghost takes the form of that girl with the slip and the high heels when she walks out. So it's like...
See, shit like that, bro, I didn't even catch on to.
So when I pick up the shit, and I'm still struggling, to like...
Enjoy. How? That's genius.
I don't know.
That's fucking awesome. That's great that you even caught it.
It's cool, I guess, but I didn't...
It's cool, I guess. That's fucking
but
cool.
But I didn't... Like I said, even watching it like that, it's like, I didn't give a fuck.
You want to know what I thought when I saw those scenes?
Go for it.
Coming from a guy that watched Critters 100 times.
I wish I watched Critters 100 times after this.
It was 87.
I honestly thought it was just they were running out of extras. That's literally all I thought.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I don't know.
No, it's like there they're for
running
a purpose.
Out, they're running out of people to use for the monster.
So the dad wasn't even in the movie, so that wasn't just like, oh, let's bring him back.
Was, oh, we put him in a picture. Oh, shit, we need a final thing to shoot. Let's make it the dad.
No.
So what did you think they were doing? Just like, how do you think the ghosts are killing the people? Just so like,
I just figure they were breaking them apart. Oh. And I figure the form that it takes of each person is a way that they killed it.
Oh, gotcha.
But then it doesn't explain the grandmother. That's theory. But like I said, with the beaten up prostitute, you know, it's peeing herself, Ted hanging out, missing teeth and shit. Like, oh, you got fucked up. But then you just said the girl that had her knee snapped off is it took the form of her and it was fine. Yeah. So and I don't know. It's different.
And then that one guy's mom wasn't dead, but it took the form of his mom because it was like, I don't know, like familiar or just to fucking, you know, just to.
Probably just to get close.
Get close, yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand why there was a naked dude on the roof with like a fucking 10-inch dick. I don't understand what that was about.
I guess if you got a 10-inch dick, what better place to hang out?
I'm on really? The roof. John, you're hung like that? Get on the roof.
I dare you to mow the lawn.
We'll have you be the weather main.
Use my edger. Throw some of this shit at you.
Fucking helicopter that shit down the sidewalk.
That fucking shit.
Jesus. I wonder what the neighbors in that neighborhood were thinking when the naked man stood on top.
God, can
what
we just,
the fuck?
Can we just do this in digital and post?
We did not sign up for this.
God. So I had to climb up there bare ass on the shingles and everything?
I thought this movie stood for like a return to safe sex.
Yeah.
I thought this movie was like part of that Reagan era kind of thing. Like, you know.
It felt like.
Like, look, if you want originality, what movie has ever done something like this where a fucking ghost or whatever the hell it is kills you for having sex and you just keep passing it along? I mean, that's original. That's an original concept. And then you add to it how this movie was shot. So very Dean Cundey, so very Carpenter. I love it. I love how it's shot. I love the slow burn. I love the story, how it just keeps building a little by little. I love that. I'm, like I said, I'm not a guy where it's all, you know, need death every fucking 2 seconds. I fucking hate that. Drives
me nuts.
With
the fucking music. I enjoyed it the first time I watched it. Like, oh, this badass music. The second time I was just like, it feels like you put the wrong music to the wrong film.
No.
Because it was like, they do like this psycho thing, but it's high fucking digital and shit. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what's going on?
Oh, but tell, dude, you got to admit, when she's in the bedroom after the hooker is in her kitchen and she runs up into her bedroom and the door opens and it's her little sister and that giant walks up. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That made my fucking hair stand up.
But the next 12 times they use that same music cue or the music itself. It
keep
just,
in mind,
it just,
bro, this is independent movie.
Okay.
They probably hired a dude that was fresh out of college.
Yeah,
he
did video game music. And I give him props.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh, does. Nice.
And I give him
music
props. I'm just saying it just, yeah, thank you.
What is it?
Disaster Piece.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, the artist is Disaster Piece.
Oh, I gotcha.
Piece as in
what else
piece,
has he done?
Dude.
What else has he done?
Disaster Piece. They're better known. They're known for that stage name. They first got started in music after learning the guitar in high school. 17 years old. It's only one guy.
Yeah, there you go.
And he's known for chiptune music.
So when you think about it, when Carpenter did Halloween, he had to write his own score. How many times do you hear the dee doo doo dee doo doo dee doo dee doo doo dee doo doo dee doo dee doo doo dee doo or dee dee doom bomb?
Yeah.
So to have minimal music that's effective, which this music is effective.
He only did music for two things.
Well, there you go. He's young.
It Follows and Hyperlight Drifter.
I don't know what that is.
It's a game developed by Heart Machine.
Nice.
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
Well, I mean, look. When you use music effectively and it's minimal, like this movie only costed $2 million. $2 million in this day and age, man, that's unfucking heard of.
Yeah.
I mean, what? I mean, I don't even know what the fuck could compare to it. The only thing that comes to mind is like 50 grand for the first Paranormal Activity, but literally it's a shaky fucking camera in a single house.
Yeah.
This is beautifully shot. This easily looks like a $10 to $15 million movie. You can't argue that. It's gorgeous how it's shot. The saturation, the colors, the way that the camera pan and scans. And, I mean, just everything about it is very fucking masterful for a relatively, what, new guy? What else does this dude do? David Robert Mitchell.
I think he's just like rom-coms or something like that.
Let's see.
He did like a drama film.
He did The Myth of the American Sleepover. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Yeah. And then Under the Silver Lake. Like, okay, you've only done two movies and this is your second movie? Like, that's fucking a home run. And especially, like I said, I love the little gab between the teenager. Like, okay, kids in movies. You know how bad kids in movies fucking annoy me. These kids, I adore all of them. I like every single one of them.
They're subtle and
dreary. The little sister that's the geek with the compact fucking... I love this movie that it doesn't specifically tie into a date.
Yeah,
because when I first watched it, I was like, oh, this is like a fucking 80s throwback. Like, she this is totally e-reader. In the 80s. Oh, wait a minute. She's got a digital reader. Okay, so yeah. This is like, what, 2010? But all the cars are from the 70s. Okay, like, there's no time or placement on it. Yeah. So it remains timeless, and I fucking love when movies do that. Like, The Thing. It's in Antarctica. It could be right now. It could be except 20
that,
years ago.
That chess computer. Yeah. I know. I'm not. Cheating, I hear what
cheating,
you're saying,
bitch. But you never know. In Antarctica, they might not have the brand new Apple.
Yeah. Ralph, when she goes on her initial date and they go to that abandoned kind of warehouse and they're kind of, you know, she's getting her, they're getting their first
her fuck on.
Yeah. Initial reactions from that whole encounter, because like I know that, it's like a big. That's like the big
like,
reveal.
Yeah, that's the big reveal. And
how about that, like, date rape?
Yeah, how about that date rape? The chloroform and all. And not even the audacity to give her clothes back.
I love that he just chucks her like, out the street.
Like this...
I mean, I don't love that. I'm not Harvey Weinstein over here. I'm just saying I like the situation. I don't like the situation. Fuck off.
Like, this movie, like, just to continue from where I was, though, but... This movie was...
Ralph is talking through his hands.
Yeah, I am. This movie, like the initial date rape, like I was going with it because I saw the first kill. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. Because I wanted to see someone get like just destroyed. And
not that type of movie.
No, it's not. It really isn't. And out of respect for you, I stayed awake for all three times I watched it. So you're welcome, sir.
I don't know. This last time you watched it, I wasn't around.
No, I promise. I stayed awake.
Ralph was probably just sitting there going, fuck! Fuck!
Fuck! Scribble, scribble, scribble. Rocking, fuck!
Rocking back and forth. Fuck. I can
Did
only
you always feel
it.
When you're watching it, though, like you know that they could have done something to make it a little bit
yes.
more interesting for you?
Like yes. what?
Something, right?
Well,
something.
Wait, like what? Because you have stated 100 times that you're not a pop-up scare guy.
I'm not a pop-up scare guy, but this movie, the writing is horrible.
No, what? Yes. What dialogue's
okay.
horrible?
The guy, like, okay, for the date rape, the guy states, and I quote, this thing is fast, it is smart, it'll be
He
things.
Never says fast.
He says it will catch up to you. It will find you. It will be fast. But the thing is, it's not smart. It's not fast. The thing is, it's dumber than a bag of rocks. Because if this thing was smart and it takes the form of people you know and don't know, why not? Why just stay as people that they know to get closer?
Like T2?
Like T2. Why be Wait. A fucking naked woman walking through a quarry in the middle of the night?
It did that in the end, though.
No.
It took the form of her father.
Yeah.
Because
at the end of the fucking movie.
I can't catch her. So
at the end of the movie.
But it's...
After they've already stated that this is the villain...
But it's stating that the thing is learning.
But it took too long to learn this.
It took an hour and 10 minutes.
An hour and 10 minutes too long.
Oh, God.
But the dialogue could have been written so much better. The monster could have been done so much better. Because if they really want to put a sense of suspense, why say that it's going to be something that, or why say that this thing's going to be something that you don't recognize? Because you're not going to just walk up to somebody you don't know, especially if they're in a nightgown.
Yeah.
Bare ass naked.
Or like when
destroyed fucking prostitute.
Or the yellow dress girl.
Yellow dress girl. You're not going to be something that, if this thing is as smart as it claims to be, it's not going to do that. It's not going to go through a window twice. To get to something. It's not.
Twice.
It went through the window whenever it was the prostitute, then it went through the window to get to the neighbor.
It went through the back door.
No, it went through sliding glass. It was the window because they heard glass shatter.
No. She was on the phone.
No. They heard glass shatter.
No, she was on the fucking phone. She went the thing came through the sliding glass door.
The glass shattered though.
In what scene?
Whenever the prostitute hooker. First came out because they heard
it came through a sliding glass door.
Then what got them to get up?
She was on the phone.
No, they were talking on the couch.
They were on the couch.
And then the boy gets up.
No.
The boy gets up to go check it out, and then he goes, I'm going to go check on your sister. He goes upstairs, and then that's when she kind of creeps into the kitchen, and she sees the pissing prostitute.
Yeah. Okay. So you got the prostitute there. So it didn't learn anything.
God damn it, I wish I would have watched this fucking movie.
I think there's a phone in the shot.
Yeah, there's a phone in the shot.
It's been like a year and a half since I've seen this movie, so I'm like,
She goes to the window. This thing goes to the window twice. And why even take the form of someone who just looks like they just got fucking mauled?
But that's the thing.
By 1,000 maniacs.
Is it's learning. And like okay, for instance, it's not always looking fucking terrible because keep in mind, the guy in the theater was like, hey, you see that girl in the yellow dress. And
yeah.
But it's
did
like,
you see her? What girl in the yellow dress? Oh, we got to go. It doesn't. Oh.
It's like taking a set of dice, shaking it, and then just going with whatever it has. Like, I don't like the writing in this. I don't like how they explain it. I don't like how they set up the monster. Granted, I'll go with the slow burn for you. I'll go with that this thing is slow moving, but don't tell me this thing is smart.
Yeah.
Don't.
I don't remember him saying it was fast or smart.
I think he says it's smart because, like, don't get yourself in a room with only one exit because, like, you know, that's why when he stayed in that weird abandoned house, he had like the hole in the closet that went to, you know, he didn't want to get himself in a situation where like he couldn't get, you know, escape the motherfucker.
And
like,
as far as smart, maybe he's referring to that it will find you regardless of where you go.
Yeah.
And that's smart. I mean, fuck. Oh, I'm going to drive all the way to the fucking beach, even though it was just at my house. Thing caught up to it. It's like a fucking homing beacon.
Like a magnetic fucking pull on you. Like it's always going to be attracted to
you. That's smart. I mean, fuck, shit.
Yeah, it goes.
I don't ever remember him saying it's fast, though.
It goes from point A to point B in the fastest route. Okay, I get that. But why walk?
What, is it going to fucking hotwire a fucking Corvette?
No. Like if this thing is truly a ghost, a demon, then stamina should not be a thing. Like, why take your sweet time?
Well, that's the thing, Ralph, is they don't explain what the hell this thing is.
But yet they're wanting to do a sequel that does.
And I love that's cool by me. Go ahead. Like that would if you want to do a sequel that interprets where this thing came from and what's its roots and what's its drive, I'm down for that. But I love the ambiguity that it's just it's almost like a force of nature, although it's like a boner killer. Like it's a essentially a sexually transmitted disease, but not, you know, but if you have sex with a person that's been touched by it,
even if you were to
weird.
Say it's a sexually transmitted diseases or a sexually transmitted disease, why would it go after the most recent person than the first person just keep going
because
from there?
It just keeps playing hopscotch and then it backtracks. I fucking love that. I think that's great. It would be boring if it just went after the same person and then, okay, fucking, I got to wait to get this guy why he fucks other people. And then I have a whole laundry list of people to hit. It's like, oh, okay. He's fucked this new person. I'm turning towards that person.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I always thought. I mean, I always thought, you know, essentially that's all it is. It's like, you know, it's just you're waiting. You're going to live your whole life in fear of it because you never know when it's going to get, you know, that chick and be stalking your ass.
And you never know when and how many people the person you passed it to, you don't know how many people they fucked. You don't know if they're dead.
You'll never.
So you never know your time.
Exactly. It's literally like a person that has herpes, you know, like you'll have your flare up, but you'll never, you can't have like just any girlfriend or boyfriend or something like that. You know, you're always going to be in fear of either spreading what you have or maybe catching.
Fear spreading it.
Well, then just make sure you stay in a house with a lot of windows and one door, because it's not going to figure out how to do with that door.
That's right.
It's going to break every goddamn window before it goes in, or climb the house and just kind of stand there where it's 10-inch wang.
I think that's why you were mad.
Swaying in your
yeah. That's another thing. Why are you on the roof? Why the fuck did you climb all the way up to the roof when you knew she was in the house?
I never understood that part either, so I will.
And then on top of that, I know I'm jumping all over the place with this.
No.
But actually, I do know why it's on the roof, because Jay always...
It had nothing else to do?
No, Jay always fucking showered and looked in the mirror upstairs, and she did it quite a bit in this movie. Yeah. So it's probably looking for the quickest route in to get her.
Through the window.
The wall. Keep in mind, those kids
so
were
sweat drops
those
off
kids
balls.
Were peeping Toms in the second story window, and it had no screen on it.
Right,
that
but
was
why
always
would
weird?
That's another weird scene. If they're peeping Toms and they're on the second floor window, why did you throw a basketball?
His
at that
buddy
window?
Threw the basketball. It bounced.
It doesn't. Where was the buddy?
On the ground.
It doesn't.
The other
show
one
the
was
ground.
On the window. Yes, but if when she's swimming, there's two kids that are staring at her.
Right.
Then she goes upstairs. One kid's peeping. The other one's not there.
Then why would you cock block your friend?
Because that's what kids do.
Yeah. It was.
Then that is not a friend. That's a cock blocker.
I mean, he could be brother. I don't know. There's no story on that.
That's a cock blocker.
I was like, what the fuck is the point of these? It was just like a reasoning for a jump scare.
Well, it was to show that she's desired.
And then granny
people
panties.
Find her adorable. Even little kids are like, oh, like attracted to her. She is very adorable. I love the sisters in this movie. I think they're all fucking great. Especially not the one that's always reading, but the other one that smokes.
The one that's like, that just finished the cigarette. Do you smell this? Yeah, I fucking smell it. You're fucking standing right here. You just put that out.
As a smoker since 13, you ask that question. To your friend that's smoking cigarettes with you. It never works out.
No. It'd be like, hey, Nate. Like, Nate's standing there fucking with a fucking joint. He puts it out. Hey, Ralph, can you smell this? Yes, you just fucking put it out right next to
yes,
me.
Yes, but you still ask that question when you're a kid.
No, they're not kids. They're like
I'd
in
get
college.
Done fucking blowing bong rips in a car and going to my parents' house. Hey, bro, do I smell? No, you're good.
Go to the movie theater just reeking of resin.
Right? It's like when you fucking, you know, you try to assure yourself that everything's going to be okay, but, you know.
When they eventually lead to the playground and their neighbor gets the car and drives him to his lake house and stuff, I thought that was really cool because you get that finally you get a goddamn scene where there's an attack and everybody's kind of involved, and seeing that scene where you're seeing all the friends kind of smile and they're drinking a beer, they're sitting on the beach, and then you see the girl walking in the background towards them. And then you see the girl in the water on the tube in the water, mm-hmm. and it's the same chick. And you're like, you kind of see it, but you got to put it together for yourself. And you're like, oh, fuck. But once the attack goes on and you see the hair lift up, and then it's just like Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby. And it's just like, hey, look, I'm going to touch this. And the guy gets flown back and he's got the claw mark. I mean, that was a scene that was kind of like, all right, you know, you're up in the ante. You're going to bring something to the table. And then. You know, and then it just goes back to more.
And then homegirl fucking leaves her friends there when she could just circle the fucking place and just like have the door open and be like, jump in.
I just, you know, I tried
it. Smart. Yeah. I would have been out of there.
I watched the movie and it's just as much as like these little scenes do happen. It's like, I can't give a fuck. And then when you get to the goddamn hospital and then she sleeps with a friend finally. So then now he
sees
it.
Yeah, we forgot to mention Paul the entire time.
Which one's
who?
Paul?
The skinny little dork friend.
Oh, God.
The one that just wants to get his dick wet?
Yeah, he just wants
to. I just want to help you.
Because that's the only way that he's ever going
to
get any.
He just wants to stab the guts. That's all he wants to do.
The only way he's going to fucking get any with those looks.
I mean, he's just like he's always there. He's permanent friend zone material, but he's always like, you know, you could give it to me and I could.
He's that fucking chihuahua that humps the air for like 10 minutes.
That's what made me laugh. Like, she humps that one guy first, and then he just goes, has a burger, and gets laid.
Yeah.
This other guy has to, like, fucking go cruise, like, some random alley to find some prostitute.
And he's fucking, it takes the thing 4 days to get to him.
Yeah.
When it came to getting to her.
To get to Paul? Or Greg?
Whatever homeboy was that got killed by his mom.
Oh, Greg. That was only a day.
It was like 3 or 4 days.
No, they fucked in the hospital. She got out of the hospital.
She got out of the hospital.
It happened that night.
God, no, damn. it took like a day or two.
That motherfucker was always on the move, man.
Yeah. Like, it took him But that's took a minimum.
That's the thing. No, that's the thing, though, is like you can't sleep for long periods because this thing is constantly walking towards you. It doesn't take breaks. It doesn't wait till night. It does, you know, it's constantly on you.
Yeah.
So it's, I like that. Like, you cannot fucking ever rest.
Yeah.
So you, eventually you get to this point of exhaustion, probably like the chick on the beach where she's just like, ugh, I can't. I'm done. Like, yeah. Thing caught up to her.
You just accept your defeat.
Yeah. I mean, like, everybody always goes, oh, you just moved to Europe. Valid point. But it take, you know, it's a good 7 years for it to catch up to you, but it will catch you.
Yep, eventually.
Well, you know. And that's not to say, does the thing just happen to be where you're at? Like,
no. I don't think it's constantly walking.
Yeah.
And that's how it finds you. That's the uniqueness of the whatever you want to call it. All right, so how do y'all see the fighting back after she witnesses Greg get killed by the mother? It's Paul that comes up with the idea of the attack of how to kill it, and it's the swimming pool gag with they start putting all these conventional electronics around the pool.
Yeah, they're gonna fry it, try to shoot it, throw a blanket over it so they could see it. Smart moves, yeah. Especially when it's not after any of you.
Yeah. You so have a form of attack, you know.
Yeah.
But yet, for some reason, this time it doesn't attack any of them, even though whenever Homeboy tried to attack it at the beach, it fucking backhands him.
Well, that's because he grabbed a hold of it.
Yeah.
They weren't touching it this time. Like, they didn't touch it this time. They did what
he
did.
I think he threw the chair at it, and then it backhanded him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they, threw the blanket over him, and he just kept walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they accidentally shoot the sister Yara.
Yeah, yeah. Give the guy that has a horrible shot to fucking try and shoot it.
Well, they got, you know, they have fucking Jay waiting in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Yara doing the throwing the blanket over it and doing that shit. The other sister, I never remember her name. Let me see.
One with the glasses with the e-reader.
No, that's Yara.
Yara.
Yeah.
And Yara's amazing. And she comes out in this, she comes out in Channel Zero, season three, Butcher's Block, and she's really good in it. Been really enjoying that show right now.
Oh, Yara's in that?
Yeah. She's like the main lead in that TV show.
Kelly, the other one. And she's doing the electronics, like getting ready to set the trap.
Yeah, because they're all going to do like a Home Alone thing, like get in the water, we'll kick the electronics and get Jay out and stuff like that and fry it, essentially.
She's 21.
But the whole way it ends with the Paul getting her, he's shooting in the water. And you see the bullet kind of like travel through the water and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That was cool because like when it does strike, the way the blood, it almost feels that Jay gets out and the blood's still like seeking
after.
And that was neat. But then you do the weird fade out. And
I wasn't thrilled about this pool scene. And then something felt off to me about it.
Because the guy with the horrible shot was still shooting?
Yeah, but he
shoots a sister.
He's such a douche. Yeah, he shoots a sister.
He shoots the sister, and then he like takes like four pot shots at it, almost hitting Jay each time, and then finally hits him with a headshot, which I'm having a hard time believing.
But I love that the thing was just like, oh, you're in the pool? I'm just going to chuck all this shit at you. Like, hits her in the face.
Yeah.
With a fucking TV?
Toaster, all kinds of things.
Like,
fucking iron.
I think it's a toaster, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, that hurt.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's weird because the thing kind of has, like, a little bit of aversion to water. It doesn't want to get in it.
Yeah.
And that's probably because you can trace it.
Yeah.
You know, you see the movement through the water.
And you go into, like, Chevy Chase and Memoirs of Invisible. Hey, that was a scene. It was a scene, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't he get... No.
Yeah, you can see his, like, when the...
No, that's what... Yeah, that's when he, like, fell into the concrete and he's holding his jacket. Stay away from me!
Sam Neill's like...
falls off the building.
Holding the goddamn jacket.
All a dark man.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's... Carpenter. Paul finally fucking convinces Jay to fuck him.
Finally.
He gets them. He gets a little.
Immediately goes and...
And then I love it. He drives past these nasty $20 whores. I want double.
I need to eat dinner tonight, so you're going to have to do it.
Dude, I think he fucked them both.
There you go.
You know, get that damn thing going.
Just start spreading it around.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I wonder how that works if you have a threesome.
I don't know.
Would it go after all three of you? Mm-hmm. Would it split into three?
I guess whoever you went to first would be like...
would be that one, and then...
Well, I mean, I could go in both of them.
Then, well, I'm saying like, no, like, the penetration-wise. Phallic penetration.
That's what I'm saying.
Phallic penetration.
I have two. You don't have two? No.
You mean nuts and butts? What the hell? Oh, God. We're going to leave that in?
So, Jesus. Yeah, that's how they decided.
Oh, I'm leaving that in.
They just, what? Nuts and butts? Hell yes, Jeff. Now you're thinking outside the box, bro. Literally.
Do you have to go inside the box?
Yeah. It's Nats.
No, I'm saying, like, is that what preempts the follows ghosts?
I don't know.
They didn't specify.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like a tracer on your cock.
Like, is it just strictly penetration, or is it like...
So if I blow my load and shoot it on six people, I have a good chance of never getting hit again. Like,
it slightly follows.
It's like, that guy's nasty.
I'm not going after that guy.
So yeah, I mean, that's how they decide to get rid of it, is Paul fucking goes and bangs a bunch of whores. Well, the two that we see, but...
At the very end, when Jay and Paul are just walking down the street, and they're kind of holding hands, and
you see something following them.
Yeah, if you watch it again, it looks like it's wearing Paul's clothes. It looks like it's Paul.
Paul or Gary?
The last guy, the one that...
The skinny little nerd dude? Oh, I didn't notice that. I thought it looked like Greg, the other friend.
When you watch it next time, he's wearing the same fucking getup. It's like a jacket and a t-shirt, and you see like the same color jacket, same color t-shirt walking up behind him.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's kind of creepy. Like, you don't know if she's holding hands with the thing or if it's actually Paul, so you don't know what is what.
Well, it's not.
Obviously,
because he speaks.
But it'd be neat.
Yeah.
But
I welcome a sequel to this big time. I would love to see them explain it.
I'd love to see a better director handle the idea or story.
Blasphemy.
For me, it was like, it's so...
slow.
No, burn. Not...
And you hate slow burn.
If it's a good film, I enjoy it. I watch so much films. I know when I watch something...
We Are Still Here. That was a great film, but a slow burn, and you said you were bored by it.
It wasn't... What's the word? It wasn't...
aggressive?
It wasn't interesting enough for me. Like, I watched it. It was cool. It's somewhere in the mind.
Keep in mind, people, this is nominated horror movies. Not for Academy Award, but fucking Scream Awards. These are nominated movies.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I think I watch enough film where, you know, if I like something, I chime off and I say, hey, this is what I liked. And when I watch something like this, I'm like, you know what? It was good film, but it was very... I couldn't give a fuck. Like, there was nothing that made it like, oh, this is a good horror film I want to watch again, because it was, there's nothing I could give it, you know, positive feedback on. And I'd like to see the guy grow and maybe grow and grow a different plot. I'd like to see these camera movements maybe in a different kind of film. I'd like to see this composer maybe do a different kind of film. But for what was there, it's significant, but also very insignificant at the same time. Mm. It's like, oh, this is really done, but it's not really anything at the same time. And when I rewatched it, I thought they'd find some horror, some hype, something that maybe I could, you know, find that was like, you know, just good. And I didn't really find it. You want to rewatch it, you know, the couple of times I had to watch it for this podcast. Final thoughts on where it sits in your...
Go ahead.
Oh,
Ralph?
Do you want to go with me?
Yeah, go for it, bro.
I'll let you shred it.
So, like, okay, I will give this movie its due. Like, the movie, it's very well shot. Like, I love the cinematography, and I like the long lingering shots that it has whenever it wants you to try and focus on something that's going on in the foreground, but there's actually something happening in the background. Like, there's scenes where they're sitting in the car at the college, and they're having a conversation. You see somebody, something walking towards them real slow, not breaking eye contact, not breaking movement speed, not breaking anything. It's making its way. Like, those shots are great. Like, they're very reminiscent of, like, some of my favorite horror movies with the slashers and whatnot. Like, if you were to see Jason in the background, that's exactly how I would see it. If I was to see Michael in the background, that's how exactly how I would see it.
you're so focused on the foreground, you don't notice it in the background. But once you sit there and notice it long enough, especially knowing what's going on, then you know what's up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give it its due on that. The music, I gave it shit to begin with, but after watching it the third time, the music is not bad. It just feels out of place in some moments whenever it's going through. And after sitting here listening to you guys back and forth, I will note that I did make a mistake because I was sitting there thinking of something else. It does say that it's running slow, or it goes slow. It doesn't move fast. So that was my mistake. Because the more I sat there and listened to y'all, the more I was sitting there thinking of that scene. I was like, I'm fucking swear it says that it moves fast, but gotcha. It doesn't. So I'll correct myself on that one. It's just the writing and the dialogue annoy the hell out of me. Because just the way everything, or like, just the way that they talk, the way that they're doing everything, the pacing of it, it's just, there's nothing there for me. There's no kind of scares. Like, the only scare that got me was whenever the fucking giant comes through the door.
That was fucking scary.
That is the one thing that pretty much made me shit myself. Like, that was my nut. If they would have kept with something like that, where they constantly kept it in the shadows, then yeah, I might have enjoyed this a little bit more. But this movie does nothing for me. As much as I wanted to try and see the redeeming points of it the second time I watched it, the third time that I watched it, this just isn't for me. And like, and I'll respect the fact that Nate loves it. Like, I like Carpenter. I like
don't
the stuff
speak
that he's
for
done.
Me, sir.
Like, I have all the respect for Nate for enjoying it, but it's this movie. I'm probably never going to sit down and watch it again.
Yes, you will.
No, I won't. No, I won't.
Like, when we return to It Follows 2, we're going to have to do both.
You're going to have to get Aaron in this one, because Aaron loved it. Who? It Follows. Your one friend that enjoyed this movie.
Like, everybody but you two. That's it.
Here's the thing. Like, I went into this movie just as blind as everybody else. Actually, I didn't even know there was a fucking trailer for this movie. Oh. I didn't even hear about it until Nate took me to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even know that this was a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, he says, oh, we're going to watch It Follows. I was like, oh, fucking Pennywise?
We'd have to wait 3 more years for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. We had to wait 3 more years for that movie. But, no, this movie does nothing for me. Granted, I'll respect it for the fact that it has, like, a 90-something in Rotten Tomatoes. It made a... It
don't
made
go into my territory. You just say what you
23 hate. Million. Like, I'll give it its respect. I'm not going to go back and watch it again. And if you ask me, hey, Ralph, what do you think of this movie? I'll be honest with you. I don't like it. I don't care for it. I'm not going to bother watching it. If you try to give me a free copy, I'll look and I'll be like, let me make another Vudu account.
So it's not on your list.
Nope. Even after you tried to give me the code.
I tried.
I waited 20 minutes. I'm not going to lie.
I don't blame you. I wanted the special features to see if there was anything.
Yeah. I got you.
You want to end on a high note?
You want to end on a high note?
Did you do your finals?
Yeah, I'm going to do my finals, and then you can end on a high note.
All right, whatever.
I'm sorry.
This was a fun post. It posted maybe like 7-8 days ago. I've been kind of saving it because I wanted to talk about it. 1,017 miles is what the thing traveled. It chased Jay around for 14 days, and this guy on the internet tracked and logged the It Follows movement for 1,017 miles was his estimate.
Jesus Christ.
Because if you watch the film, when they go to the pool scene, they go, this is the first time I've been past the 8 mile. They talk about childhood, they talk about the 8 mile, and it places you in Detroit. You know where this is now. You have an idea of geography. You know when they go to, I'm trying to think of the lake they go to, but even when they go
lake
to the
bottom.
Beach and stuff, it's just all the stuff and the geography was known to this guy, and he just started doing the math. And as he tracked things on, you know, linear ways, you know, he's not going to walk through a living room or anything like that. So he tracked it through roads and stuff like that, how it would actually follow you. He tracked it down to 1,017 miles for 14 days of tracking Jay. And I thought that was cool. You know, it's like some people have a lot of love and a lot of heart for this film. And I think if it's your taste in this kind of film, it's a good film, I guess, you know. For me, it was just, it didn't have the heart, you know. The dialogue was there. I mean, if your main strategy of being scared is confronting and dealing with this ghost haunted sexuality kind of thing, if that's interesting to you, that's great. Then you finally found a film that hits that bill. For me, it was just not something I want to return to. It wasn't, you know, like I'll rewatch Get Out. It's been playing on cable now, and it's been a privilege to just pop in and catch certain scenes because there's layers to a story or a plot that has fun in different levels. For this one, it's like it's dull indie with the little, you know, ooh, look, I got a little spice of something different.
It's minimalist horror. It's just, it's too minimal.
There was no value in it for me to give a fuck. It wasn't like, oh, there's a really good scary scene here, or the ghost is really cool. Or there wasn't anything that was worthwhile for me to like revisit because it's in my realm of like, give a fuck. I watch really crappy indie shit that have like very basic practical effects, and I love it because somebody's trying to do something that's totally within a realm of something that couldn't be done within budgets, you know? And I take, you know, interest when I see festival films like this and they come out and they're doing something different. You know, like when you see a film like Raw or like The Witch, which a lot of people got to live a lot of, you know, it's not for everybody. But this one for me, I try to give it, you know, its due. I could speak levels to what Ralph spoke to, but I kind of sit in the same playing field where I'm like, it just wasn't my cup of tea. And if you like it, which I spoke to a lot of people at MondoCon that, when in that year, they were like, It Follows was like one of the best horror films that they had seen of that year. But to go back to it, I can't call it a good horror film, let alone a good solid film. You know, it was the actors are good, the director's good, all that stuff. But yeah, just wasn't really my cup of tea. So it's an avoid for me. I think I was lucky enough to get a free Voodoo code, and that's how I kind of own it. And then, like, when Nate said it popped up on Netflix, I was like, cool. You know, it's like, I can watch on that kind of whim. But even when they had it on sale at Best Buy for $3.99 on Black Friday, I was like.
You brought that up for over a year. So.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you even texted me asking me if I wanted it. I was like, no, I'm good, man. I appreciate the thought, though. Yeah. Did they have anything else? Maybe something in the $5 bin?
Yeah. It's like, shit.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, Nate.
That's not... Hey, I don't give a shit if you guys like it. I think you're fucked in the head.
This like, we still love you. On. We just don't like that movie.
Hold on. This movie's got a fucking 97. And we're not talking fucking 20 reviewers. We're talking 300 fucking plus reviews. A 97 for a fucking horror movie. An indie fucking horror movie. I don't know what these guys have seen. I don't know what the hell... What the fuck? I don't know. But I'm not going to hold it against them. People have different tastes. This movie is right the fuck up my alley. I love it. It is very Carpenter. It's shot like it's shot by Dean Cundey. It's acted great. Every character in this movie does not, none of them annoy me. I love every bit of them. I think they're all fantastic. I think they're doing a fucking fantastic job. This movie received universal acclaim. It was voted the fifth best movie of that year. Not horror movie, fifth best fucking movie. That says something. It didn't even get the best movie nod for this past year, and that was a tremendous movie. Look at what I'm saying here. Do you see what I'm saying? We're talking Driving Miss Daisy and all these other fucking movies, and then It Follows. Okay, it's the best out of that, you know, fifth best out of that year, not just the horror genre. You've got all these. I mean, if you go to the Wikipedia, you have a mile of fucking reviews saying how great this fucking movie is. I didn't read any of this. I walked into it and enjoyed the fuck out of it. So coming out and seeing that fucking a bunch of critics and a bunch of people and a bunch of support and big fucking blow up of this movie, I was thrilled. I mean, you know, Vice named It Follows the best horror movie in the past 20 years. 20 years. That's a fucking high rating. That's high regard. Another critic called
Vice.
You know what a fucking Vice is?
Like a tool?
Yeah.
See, this is why these two don't get the movie. They talk through it. That's why they don't immerse themselves in it. I fucking love this movie. My wife loved this movie, and damn near everybody I've ever known or talked to that enjoys cinema loves this fucking movie. I give it the strongest of fucking recommends. It's absolute buy. This needs to be in a collection. If you enjoy boo, 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 boo every fucking 5 minutes, you're not going to like this movie because it's not that. It's not a stupid slap. Hey, wait a minute. Let me finish my thought. I let you guys rip on it for however long. Now, it's not going to slap you in the face with fucking horror. It's a smart horror fucking movie. Stop.
I'm nodding.
Stop it. It is. And I for one think pop-up horror and slap you in the face over gory bullshit horror, I think that's for kids. That's fucking retarded movies. They don't scare me. I haven't been scared in a horror movie in a long fucking time because I'm so, I guess, used to the bullshit. Oh, here's the remedy. Follow the recipe. This didn't follow a recipe. It tried something new. It experimented with a fucking original story. No one ever fucking did like an STD transference of fucking, hey, now you're dead because we fucked. Yeah, like Jason, you'd fucking it. You'd get killed. But this was like, hey, just because you had sex with this person, now this ghost, this thing, this entity is after you until you fuck the next person to get rid of it. But then it'll come back to you. It's not over. You can fuck 100 people, and if it catches those 100 people, you'll never know those 100 people are dead, and one day you're going to turn around and bam, you're fucking dead. I love the idea of this movie. Now, going along with all these fucking critics saying, oh, this is a return to morality and this is a hypothesis on how AIDS and the transference and the AIDS, I don't fucking know. I just enjoyed the movie. I don't do a fucking hypothesis or a fucking some long-term college paper to fucking defend this movie. I just go by what I liked, and then I look online and it seems everybody else fucking liked it. Like I said, fifth best horror movie of fucking 2014. This is Nathan. I'm done.
I don't know. I mean, Cronenberg did Rabid long before It Follows. He's done films like Crash that are always intellectually like, I don't know. And it's just sad that when people step on the shoulders and try to venture into this realm of what they would call smart horror, it wasn't. It was very minimal. And I guess that's what the take was. It was something that wasn't, you know, House on Haunted Hill and stuff like that. And I think in being,
yes, but do you consider House on Haunted Hill smart horror?
Oh, of course not. But no, I'm saying like, but I'm saying it's like a person to stand on their little, you know, like, hey, this was, you know, something different. And I don't challenge it for being different.
Before 2014, and I understand we don't have a list in front of us, so I can't like exactly pick your brain. When was a movie before that that wasn't, you know, from say 2000 to 2014, what was a movie that didn't hit you over the fucking head with a frying pan every 5 minutes in the horror realm?
Yeah.
Everything was the same formula. And after, I mean, I've been watching horror since 1986. Everything followed a formula and it started getting burned out, boring. Fuck, I was so bored of horror in the mid-2000s. Like after Scream, the original Scream.
Yeah.
I was fucking sick of horror movies because it was always the same shit over and over and over. Granted, you'd have one or two that would come out and blow your hair back.
Yeah.
But 95% of the horror movies that come out are the exact same thing. That's why I don't like Sinister. That's why I don't like Insidious. I get them fucking confused because they're the same fucking thing.
Yeah, but when you talk about what, I mean, what can you put next to It Follows that is good besides your, you know.
Fuck. Besides like Carpenter shit?
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, you're speaking to a level of like what your taste is. And what I'm telling you is it's not a bad made film. It just, for me, it wasn't.
I would say not similar, but a smart horror movie. Well, kind of. I'd say Autopsy of Jane Doe. Really don't know what the fuck's going on. There's not a lot of graphic violence.
Don't get too far onto that one because I've lost my Blu-ray for that. I still haven't watched it.
Oh, yeah. Autopsy of Jane Doe is fantastic. Yeah.
So, like, my Blu-ray, I didn't even get to fucking crack the seal on it.
I hate Emil Hirsch. I can't stand him. I think he's a fucking
speed racer's best friend.
Limp you said microphone. That and he fucking, like, he lost his microphone.
Dude, no, I mean, Lords of Dogtown ruined him for me. Like, I was just like, oh, you douche.
Yeah.
But
Alpha Dog.
Alpha Dog. Yeah, him being the. Yeah. I don't know. That's actually the movie that made me like Justin Timberlake because I was like, oh, he plays this too well.
Anton Yelchin. Because
he brings sexy back.
Anton Yelchin's fucking amazing in that.
Oh, Anton Yelchin.
Yeah, I would put this in the same category of a recent movie as. What did I just say? What the fuck movie did I just
say?
Autopsy of Jane Doe. Slow burn. Shit starts happening. We don't know why. It's not hitting you over the head with jump scares and bullshit. It's just a story where this, we'll get into Autopsy of Jane Doe later, but it's build.
Like I said, I'm not attacking it because like it looks like shit. It looks like dog shit. It should be direct to VOD. It's good film, made well. It just wasn't entertaining to me. Like
that's cool. I'm not going to damn anybody.
And then when I look at the reviews or like you speak to the reviews and stuff, you're like, fuck, did I get it wrong?
Did you
and,
miss something?
And yeah. I rewatched it and I'm like, you know what? No, I'll watch fucking Green Room and just be like, fuck, it feels
fuck,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm amazed that this is an independent film and this guy took the fucking thought process to make something this original and fun and unique. And it's a fucking thriller and it's got suspense. And then I watched this and it's like, you're trying too hard.
I'll say something. And you can either take this as a positive or a negative towards the film. Whenever you watch It Follows, it always feels like 1 a.m. You know what I mean? You're just, you're kind of, you know, where you're like in the kind of like a dreary state.
Intro of the film, I'm good. But once she's like having that moment in the bath, in the pool.
That's like 5 seconds later.
But I'm saying that those moments in the pool feel like 30 minutes, 20 minutes. It does. Like,
there's long shots in this movie.
And that's what makes me like get disconnected. We're like, whatever the fuck I'm watching, I want to change the channel because this is so boring. It's not. I don't know.
You know what this movie actually reminds me more than Carpenter? It reminds me of Kubrick, The Shining. Jeez, long shots that do nothing. Dude, watch The Shining again and then watch this.
Yeah, I enjoy The Shining. That's why I can't say that to this.
Yes, but you
shit.
Enjoy because it's fucking...
It's a good story. It's a good plot. There's development. And this, it's like...
I'm saying as far as pacing, there's these long shots in The Shining that do nothing.
It develops a story.
Does nothing. What does that long shot in the corridor have anything to do with the movie? Nothing happens in that corridor.
The sound effects of the kid's tricycle going from the carpet to the floor.
No, I'm not talking that scene.
Oh, just scenes in general. Let's talk
I'm not
scenes
talking
in
the,
general.
Oh,
you're
dude.
Talking about, you're talking about The Shining.
The Shining's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
not thinking
Don't
the
put It Follows next to The Shining.
Dude, that's your fucking thought, though. How
I
see it pacing-wise
oh, yeah.
is similar as fuck.
I know. God, that's like...
No, it's not like anything. It is similar. That's they like, show unnecessary... It's Blade Runner. Unnecessary lengths of film where nothing is happening.
Yeah. But you're talking about shot development next to plot.
No, I'm not talking plot. I'm talking pacing.
Okay.
Similar. You get these long winded shots where you're like, why is this fucking lingering? And then nothing comes of it.
And then
just like Shining, comes of it.
And that leaves you the fucking time to become the movie reviewer. Like, oh, she's remembering.
No, that's
what you get.
That's
left
a Blumpkin.
With.
What is it?
It's a Fonzenou.
Here's the thing for me different. Is like you're doing Shining and It Follows, and here's the thing for me. If I was to put those two next to each other, like Jeff is trying to keep from, the thing that I have between them is that with The Shining, after that long shot, I know there's going to be something else.
There was nothing that happened in that movie for fucking an hour and 40 minutes.
The thing with It Follows is that we go from that long shot of her in the pool to that long shot of her standing in front of the mirror looking at herself, which, by the way, she has a picture of herself at the pool like, oh, let me commemorate this shot. And then it goes from that long scene to another long scene of them standing in front of the
picture of her. She liked it. What the fuck?
Standing in front of the movie theater, just a long shot of just them talking. Then it goes into another long shot of them talking again about, oh, I want to be that kid right there. He could be shitting in his pants
okay,
right now.
Okay, let's go to The Shining. We'll go, you got this long drive in a Volkswagen for a story that says nothing. What does Jack
but then
Nicholson
we get,
say to his kid? Nothing. And then you get this long shot of the hotel, and you get this Long shot of him walking up to the front desk, only to ask for a manager, and another long walk to the office, and then you get a long corridor shot to introduce you to the cook, who becomes relevant fucking an hour and 40 minutes later. Nothing happens. Oh, but, no, it's Tuesday! But, fucking nothing happens in The Shining for fucking...
But, hold on, let me...
Seven-eighths of the
let
movie.
Me stop you for 2 seconds.
No.
The thing in It Follows starts you off so strong with that girl.
It's
though.
Supposed to. That's it, the grabber.
And then you give us nothing after
oh,
that.
Oh my God. It can't do it every five. There's four but fucking
you can't,
in the movie.
You cannot set me up like that. You cannot set me up with that. And then pretty much give me until date rape to finally give me something of a nude woman
date
walking
rape
up. And then
10 minutes
and
into
then,
the movie.
And then. You have nothing else after that until we have to the sleepover.
They're trying to track down the fucking rapist. And there was something that happened in the background. You always see something following her. You don't notice it because you're not aware of it because you don't know what the fuck it is. But when you rewatch it, you notice these things.
But it's...
That's why I had you watch it twice. Like, maybe he just
And I went
some
a third
shit.
Time, too.
But yet, the same thing that you're dinging, you praised it for. With the librarian standing in the background, walking
right.
in a little
and
closer.
They did it once.
Once, but this movie is
and then
revolved
what,
around
then what
that.
Was
That's
the scene that they gave
point.
You after that?
Hey, would you guys be happier if the hooker like did some weird shimmy shake as it ran?
Well,
at
no. Well, now you're using a different
That's
scene.
Your phobia.
But like,
no.
We're talking about it in the scene
a
with
hooker
the library.
Running at me?
No. We're talking about
the shaking thing. Remember
what
you said that was like a phobia thing that you have, like when people do like the weird jerky shit.
Oh yeah, I don't like that.
But
that's
like,
all I'm talking
the
about.
Thing with the library, though, as great of a point as
I like
that
when
is,
people jerk off and shake at me.
As great of a point it is with it, what is the scene you get immediately after that? You get the stairs. It's a long lingering shot,
great.
But then you see the kid coming down the stairs and he's decapitated.
It's frying
you get
pan over
else.
The head scares.
And but you ding! Still, but you still jumped. Hey, I have the recording of you saying that you jumped.
We're exactly 12 minutes into this film. We need a scare. Another 10 minutes. We need a scare. Another 10. No, it's not that type of horror movie.
No, it's not. But again, you cannot set me up like
and
that and not have
this is
something
my,
else.
This is my comparative to The Shining. The Shining has jack fuck all happen in it for over an hour and 20 minutes. And then you run into the room, 217. Then Jack Nicholson.
237.
Yeah, there you go. 237?
Yeah.
Oh, in the book, it's 217. Yeah, they changed the number.
Okay. I don't think so.
I'm pretty
know.
Sure it's 217. Room 217. Room 2.
I thought it was room 237.
What's a goddamn... Anyways.
We'll Wikipedia this later. We'll look at...
But that's the point. That nothing happens in The Shining for long periods of time. So you're dinging this
but
movie.
You didn't...
Wait a minute. You're dinging this movie for the exact same reason that you love The Shining.
But you didn't set us up for something great at
yes,
the beginning.
Yes, you did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, you did. You broke this chick in half.
And it follows, but in The Shining, you didn't have that kind of development right at the get-go.
You didn't need it because you had Jack Nicholson's crazy ass.
Okay, that's fine.
Build-up.
But again, you still...
And you do have a fucking build-up in the beginning of The Shining when Danny freaks out and loses consciousness.
Don't go downtown.
Then she calls the doctor. Has this ever happened before? Yeah, he has a little boy that he talks to.
But we didn't see
Tony,
some...
Tony, he's in my mouth. Like, what the fuck is happening? It's all right there in the beginning.
But that's like, at that point, you just dismiss it as the kids just being crazy. You don't get to see a death right at the get-go.
But you don't know that in
but
Shining.
Right. And you don't
right.
know that if you're going into It Follows
it's
from the start.
Story. You have to start at a place that grabs your attention and then you expand.
Right.
That's how a story works.
You don't show all your cards right at the beginning like It Follows did.
It Follows didn't show a fucking card. It showed a fucking chick running away from something we can't see.
And she gets
what the
killed.
Hell is going on.
She gets this brutal death.
But it doesn't show the death. It shows the carcass.
It shows her dead.
And it makes you go, what the fuck did that to her?
Exactly. That's your real end right there. But then you give me nothing till date rape.
Which is 10 minutes into the fucking movie.
Of long shots
oh
that feel
God.
As though it's longer. Yes.
Oh, my God. People, I'm sorry. I like movies that don't fucking have to over-explain their situations.
You don't
I
have
like
to explain
where
anything.
It leaves
just
it ambiguous.
Don't give me blue balls right at the beginning.
Oh, my God. What movie doesn't? Halloween. Michael Myers kills his sister right in the first fucking 3 minutes of the movie, and then nothing happens for 80 minutes.
No, you get the rain scene, and you get the escape.
Oh, my God.
It's an attack.
Oh, my
Don't
God.
Don't say it wrong, then. God damn it.
Okay.
They fucked up in It Follows, I think, for me, when they showed the mom and they showed what happens when the thing catches you. I think if they would have just did the strobe light effect and showed the reaction of Jay, it would have sold me a little bit more of like...
Then you wouldn't have those fake tits.
But did you need it?
I did.
I'm just saying, like, it gave us too much. I like the idea of, like, if you wouldn't have seen what the fuck the attack was, it would have created more angst.
That's the thing, bro, and I
mean, if you're going like to do I less said, is more, you should have stayed way the fuck
And less. Like I said, it's been over a year since I've seen this.
Yeah.
I don't remember her grinding. I just remember her on top of him. Yes, pelvis to pelvis, because she's sitting on him, but yeah. I don't remember her, like, grinding.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, and as I look at the story, the plot and storyline, it doesn't say it. So maybe the strobe light was given that effect. I don't remember seeing that. But then again, like, I didn't see the jizz. There's things in this movie you will not notice the first time. Like, I never knew that was her father.
Yeah, fuck it.
I had no idea. I mean, that makes it even better to me.
Well, that's
what I got.
Like, when you say the Rotten Tomatoes scores, I'm like, I'm shaking my head, like, okay, you know, and I'm like, I'm okay where I'm at. I don't mind being the.
I don't mind your guys' opinions, but I do mind our listeners getting the people that are fans that listen to us.
Oh, totally.
I am a thorough defender for this movie. I hope I couldn't really do it very well this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I've worked fucking 80 hours 3 weeks straight.
It doesn't matter.
And I forgot today was podcast day. I thought it was fucking Friday.
No, because you come in a lot of times and it's easy for you to shit on everything.
You're the guy that never buys.
No, I don't like. But I'm glad you come in and you shit on what you don't like and you talk about what you don't like. So us finding a film that you actually find interest in or were entertained by, it's cool. Because I'm like, fuck, dude, we couldn't be on two separate ends of a fucking block on this film. Because it's like, shit, dude. It's like, I tried.
We are. And that's the thing is what's weird with both of you guys is we come together for certain movies and then other movies. We
don't
separate.
See eye to eye, yeah. And that's what's cool is like we talk about, hey, what did you like about that? I didn't even understand that part. That's cool. I got to rewatch it now because you saw that. That's cool.
She's like, I know so many people that hate Videodrome. I'm like, it's an amazing movie. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Oh, no, I don't get it. It's like, oh, my God. But like I'm saying, with most people's complaints on this movie is a pacing issue. Oh, nothing happens. Dude, there's so many fucking goddamn great horror movies where this exact same pacing. It's the exact same.
Yeah.
It's not a hit you over the head horror movie. It's a buildup. It's a psychological thriller, I would say, more than a horror.
And what you spoke to, a lot of people saw it that way. So that's cool.
I'm one of you.
Hey, as long as you're not on that island alone, hey, that's all that matters. That's the main thing.
Now, if I was sitting here defending like a pencil thin weirdo.
Paul?
the guy who did like.
Are you talking about like
Divine?
Yeah. Roger Waters.
Yeah. If I was sitting here defending a Roger Waters movie, shame on me.
You're talking about Johnny Depp and Crybaby?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, have you ever
all those movies?
Oh, man. Cecil B. Demented. That was like one of my favorites. Awesome Stephen Dorff film. Again, like I said,
you just said those
that
two.
Blank stare.
You said that name and awesome in the same sentence.
I'll probably say it more than once.
Stephen Dorff?
Dorff is awesome.
Oh my God.
And we found ourselves another island.
I know, the gate. Blade.
Oh my God. The gate. He was 5 years old. It doesn't
count.
He
was awesome.
Didn't count. Does not count.
But we've been doing this show for years, and I'm glad we finally got to It Follows. We always, jab at it here and there throughout many episodes, and I'm glad we finally got to dedicate, an hour to talking about It Follows.
Yeah, it's been a long.
A long time coming.
We've been talking about doing this movie for.
Wanted to do it when it was going to be you and Aaron enjoyed it, and me and Ralph actually saw eye to eye, and we didn't really enjoy it too much. And I was like, "Fuck, it's going to be fun because it's going to be like like a basketball game, 2-on-2 and shit."
Yeah,
and that would have been cool. We didn't want to gang up.
Me and Aaron would lose. We're a little out of shape. And if I had, like, honestly,
listeners and kids.
Listen here, you youngsters. If I would have had due time to fucking watch this movie, which, like I said, I thought today was Friday. I have been working 18s and 12s.
Gotcha.
Like, oh, my God. But I really wish I wanted to watch this movie before we podcasted.
Hey.
Because I wanted to have 100% defense. Like Ralph saying, oh, she broke the windows. I was like, oh, what fucking window? Yeah, she broke the window.
She was on the phone. There's a fucking phone.
But like I said, that's how she has to get in. If the doors are locked, she's got to get in somehow. Yeah,
but
so, hey, break the fucking window.
Sometimes we do our homework. Sometimes it's good just to talk about the passion you feel towards the film.
Yeah, that's all I got to do.
Hey, that's what I do half the time. I wing this.
I know, right? Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3? I don't like chainsaws.
I had to watch Chainsaw 4.
You owned Chainsaw 4.
I almost owned multiple copies of a fucking piece of shit movie.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about that type of direct versus this,
yeah,
come on.
Oh, man.
This is Academy Award winning. I mean, you know, the sad thing is, the good thing is Blumhouse is bringing it back.
It brought out Get Out, which is now an Oscar nominated film, which is
and awesome. And they're releasing this year's Halloween. I cannot fucking wait.
I mean, I think horror's gonna take.
They're gonna release it on Christmas Day.
No, it's coming out in October. Sadly,
Christmas.
I'm dying for a fucking trailer for that movie. Like, I want to know what, because the script. Before Blumhouse acquired the rights and like when Dimension lost the rights, I was all on board for that script.
I'm kind of spooked though because they haven't wrapped yet, and Jamie Lee Curtis is already wrapped though. So yeah, like, damn it, she's gonna die early in the film or mid.
Well, no, keep in mind they've been filming for like 2 months, so
she
probably comes in at the later half of the movie.
They're trying to get the setup for Michael being an STD.
That would be awesome. I am a force of nature.
Like, he's not gonna be listed as the shape. On there, he's going to be listed as the aide.
Wah, wah, wah. All right, well, as we're going to start a new trend, Jeff, tell us a joke.
All right, here we go. TFW. We are so close, and this couldn't be any fucking
That's not a
better.
Joke.
It's the best joke in the world.
That's not a joke.
The punchline is going to be us at the fucking
yeah
at the convention. Golly,
the punchline's going to be Jeff's going to wear all white t-shirts this time.
Yep,
all white t-shirts.
And Ralph's going to have to be peeled off the floor again.
Oh my god!
This time in the parking lot.
I almost got It Follows from carrying him on my back.
I had Jeff pickled in my hand.
If it is follow you because of penetration, I was inch from
anal warts.
It's Jeff's pickle. He left it.
Oh, you ever peel fucking Maui off the fucking floor naked?
It's actually Maui shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea, hero of men.
That's what I
am. You're welcome.
Oh my god.
We hope to see all of you first weekend of May out in Dallas at Texas Frightmare Weekend. Great lineups, every Jason you could ever want to meet.
Oh,
God, every the loser club's gonna be there. It's gonna be awesome.
I still hope they have Bill come.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be a great
Did they finally get Wolfgang?
They got everybody except
for
Bill.
Yeah, everybody but Bill. Oh, damn. All right. Well, I'll go with that.
No, they did get Bill. They didn't get a Stranger Things kid.
Yeah.
Bill's not going.
Yeah,
Bill's going.
Bill's going to be there, and I think the only one that's not going to be there is Georgie, Pennywise, and Stranger Things kid. I think those are the three there.
Let me look and just to confirm, but is it? Yeah,
I don't
want to give wrong information.
But Clyde Barker, Doug Bradley.
My brain is fried for the past like 3 days.
I mean, there's so many people. I mean, this is going to be probably one of my favorite.
And this is the year I'm going broke.
Oh yeah, it's like, geez Louise.
Before I get there,
having huge in costume Jason photo event.
I'm going to sneak into Nate's picture as Jason.
Okay,
it's creeping.
It's creeping. Sure. And be like, wait a second. What fucking Jason is that?
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. I would welcome it. Like, Ralph just comes around the backside. It's like, who the fuck is that other Jason?
I keep hoping they drop Derek Mears' name. Like, he shows up too.
Would be fucking. God, that would be tits, dude.
Oh man.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got fucking Ron Perlman's gonna be there.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Ron
God.
Yes. I'm looking forward to next year for
the This is the
Hellboy.
Year I need like fucking money. I need to work X-ray for like 2 days. Just two fucking days. Like
Phil Fondacaro's going.
Nice.
Yeah. Troll.
Awesome.
Ghoulies 2. Phantasm 2.
Awesome.
Who is that guy?
Bordello of Blood.
Awesome. He was in Land of the Dead.
Land of the Dead, Return of the Jedi, and Willow.
Damn.
I will blow you, sir. No, he's, the little.
Right. Woo! Hey, you got it!
I did it!
You did it!
I did it.
What'd you do?
I did.
He did the woo!
Wooed.
Woo!
Woo!
Do it!
Woo! Woo!
Oh, no.
God damn it. You'll hear it in post.
I did it.
Woo!
Okay. Woo!
Whoa!
Woo!
Woo! So, wait, I'm still trying to find.
The loser club post.
Yeah, I can't fucking find it. Jeez, save Louise. My goddamn life.
It's right here under awesomest fucking thing ever.
Yeah, really. Because this doesn't say that. Okay, so
because I knew
the little picture that I'm seeing say they have Beverly, Ben, Bill, Eddie, Sam, and fucking Mike Hamlin. So yeah, they don't have Bill, and they don't have Wolfgang Adidamus Hard Poke Kid, whatever his fucking name is. He's got a really cool fucking hard name. It's like
Wolfgang Amadeus Cho.
No, what's his goddamn name? Wolfhard or something like that. Like he's got a dope ass name.
Yeah, he does.
And this one right here, it says that Beverly, Ben, Bill, Eddie, Stan, and Mike will all be at Texas Frightmare.
Finn Wolfhard.
Finn, there you go,
dude.
And which
that
one's,
is a name?
Which one's Finn?
That's the kid from Stranger Things.
Oh, really? Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah,
doesn't smell like caca to
he's
me,
not
senor.
Be there. So that's gonna be Sophia Lillis, or Lily, Jeremy Ray Taylor,
Jaden Lieber,
yeah, Jack Dylan Grazer, Wyatt Olaf, and Chosen Jacobs.
Yeah,
fucking, I doubt it's gonna happen because anytime I put this out into the fucking universe, it never works out for me. But they have a pop figure of Beverly that's coming out.
Oh.
I don't think it's a chase. It's just an exclusive, so you could find it. It's not like you have to be lucky to get it.
Yeah,
but I think Hot Topic is going to have it. But it's Beverly drenched in blood.
Awesome, bathroom scene.
Yeah, I want to get that. And they also have another one of Pennywise where he has the pole through his face, and he's like mid transformation.
I get her to sign that one.
Yeah,
did she do the pole driving?
Yes, she's the one that
stabs him.
That drove the pole into his fucking face, and he's like,
and all that shit starts floating. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Like, if I can get my hands on one of those.
See how we get excited when we talk about good films?
I wasn't going to say it, but.
Hey-o!
Thank God that was an empty Coke.
I Dr. hope Pepper. There was some Dr. Pepper still left in there, and you get ants, you fuck.
Because that's how you get ants.
Maybe it'll follow.
Follow you right in your fucking house, pal.
So from everybody,
yeah, just be careful, all the windows get broken.
From all of us to all of you, this is Jeff.
I'm fucking Ralph.
This is Nathan.
And this is Ralph.
Keep it
tune
scared.
In next time and we'll talk about Jason Takes Manhattan.
No, next time we gotta do fucking goddamn Cloverfield Paradox.
Let's knock it out.
The paradox!
The paradox!
How many in understanding?
Thank you for listening to Deep in the Horror of Texas. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, please leave a review on the iTunes or Stitcher radio app. And above all, remember to keep it scary.
The man who's working hard for you. When the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home,
when I come home,
oh, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I broke, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's growing older than you. But
and we will